Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Now, just now when we started the service, right, until now, how many times have you heard about this word Palm Sunday? Many, many times, right? But as I went through the scriptures myself, if you see things from man's perspective, it's Palm Sunday, lah. But if you see things from the Lord's perspective, if you ask Jesus, what would that Sunday be? Now, for me personally, I think it would be a very solemn Sunday. Just one Sunday before he was crucified. Palm Sunday, we always remember, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But I think Leon has read my message and look at the deck. It has gone dark. He helped me with the PowerPoint. So my title today is Peace Unrecognized. You will know who is this peace means, right? It's Jesus. Peace Unrecognized and Tears of the Messianic King. Can I now invite Leanne to come on the stage to read the scripture for us? Please pay attention to those words highlighted in bold. Leanne?
Yes. Okay. Morning, church. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Luke 19, verse 28 to 44. I'll be reading from the NIV version. Verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he has told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I will tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and children and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to him. May we pray, Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. Your word is life. We ask that, Lord Jesus, you open up our eyes to see things from your perspective today so that we may discern your heartbeat. We may discern your heartbeat and knowing your will and be obedient and act on it. So, Lord, open up our ear to listen right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this is my sermon outline. 4 P's. I will expound the first 3 P's using the Bible verses. But as you can see, the last P, right, is a 7-letter word. For those of you later, I ask a question, if you can answer, what is that P? I got a small gift for you. This is to encourage you, not to bribe you, but to encourage you to pay undivided attention, not because of what I have got to say, what the Lord has got to say to PJEFC. Okay? The first one is preparation, second is proclamation, third, provocation. This is the sandwich, the provocation part, and the last P, you got to tell me. Now, let me quickly jump into the text. Just now we have read, right? Preparation. Now, Jesus, being the king of the universe, he needed to prepare his own entry to Jerusalem. Even though he's almighty, so powerful, yet this humble servant of the Lord need to prepare his own entry. But how did he do it? He asked two disciples, hey, you go to this place and untie the cord. If somebody asks you, you just answer, the Lord needs it, right? Now, if we read this passage quickly, too quickly, you might miss the important point. Let me illustrate this with an example. Say, Pastor Alexa needs a bicycle. And he asks Lian and Lijie, go to a place. So this place is Gong Wing's house. His house has got a new bicycle worth 50,000, say. So as Pastor Alexa say, you go to this place, take the bicycle. If someone asks you, you say, Pastor Alexa needs it. So imagine when Lian and Lijie went to his place, when Gong Wing said, hey, why are you touching my bicycle? You get the point? By right, supposed to be, hello, Chairman Gong Wing, Pastor Alexa need the bicycle, can you give it to her? So the point I want to tell you is this, the Messiah, the Lord instruct through his word, but these two disciples need to act in faith of what the Lord told them. You see, sometimes I find the Bible got so many redundant words. Why repeat and repeat and repeat? Actually, it's quite important to get it. The Lord said you just need to follow to the dot what I told you, and it should be all right. And how about the owner? Gong Wing might not give away the bicycle, no? If he didn't know who is Lian or Lijie. So the owner of the court also need to obey and surrender. Now the question is this. Why the Lord want to do this? Because he is laser focused to accomplish the will of the Lord, and he wants to fulfill the prophecy spoke about him by the prophets many, many years ago. So in the book of Old Testament, right, he say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was mentioned in Matthew 21, verse 4 to 5 as well. So the first point I want to make is this, and this is a question that you need to ask. For those of you who attended the pre-prayer meeting just now, Evan talked about the will of God. Are we always prepare to do the will of God? When he instructs you, do you rationalize it? Do you actually be obedient and follow his instruction to the dot? That is the first point. Now, the second point is proclamation. Now, this is, in this context, right, I just want to bring you back to a few days or even a few weeks before the triumphant entry to Jerusalem. You see, a lot of people would have seen Jesus heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, multiply food and fish and fed a few thousand people, right? Deliver those demon-possessed men. And just a few days before this entry, he rose Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. 4 days, I think the body also would have swollen beyond measure that nobody can do anything. Nothing on earth has happened before that a person can be raised after 4 days of his death. But Jesus did that. If today you got such a prophet, like, can do the same thing, and say that, hey, now the person is in SS2, is going down to PJ section 13, you think what will happen? Just imagine what will happen. So that's why when I ponder over this and also confirm this with the commentary, right, I think during that time, the procession, I call it, it might be 1 to 2 kilometers long, they might have a few 100,000 people there. And those say don't have Instagram, WhatsApp, nothing. But I think a lot of people would like to see who this Jesus is. And can you imagine a football field, a stadium can only host 100,000 to 120,000 people, right? This is a long street with a few 100,000 people shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. Isn't it so grand? And why are they shouting? Because they praise God for all the miracles that Jesus did. Okay? And they now know this might be the Messianic King that they have been waiting for. They might be thinking the time has come. Inni Kalila. Finally, my King is coming to deliver me from the enemy, from their bondage, from their oppression. And we can finally have peace and security. Okay? Now, with this backdrop, then come to the third part, provocation. You see, I spent so much time to understand, Lord, why are you so out of line one? People are rejoicing. You are weeping. Weeping. People are celebrating what you have done for them. You are condemning them, you know, pronouncing judgment, as you can see from the passage just now, Leanne read, right? Why are you so out of line? So what is the issue here? What is the issue here? I think the main tension here is on peace. So Jesus wept over the situation, wept over their lack of knowledge, ignorance, or even their careless heart, and he pronounced judgment, and he said the judgment on this city is imminent. So the tension is on peace. The crowd was shouting, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What did Jesus say? If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. So what will bring you peace? For the crowd, it is an outward-seeking peace, looking for someone to deliver them. It is a peace that will come by conquering the enemies. Right? But what Jesus is looking for is the inward searching peace. A peace that will come when you condemn sin in your life and acknowledge it. What the Christ is seeking for based on circumstances, I'm suffering. Deliver us, Lord. But what Jesus is looking for is conviction. Conviction. Are you in Him or not? Do you know me or not? And the peace that the crowd seek is man-imparted. It's temporal. But what the Lord wants to give is God and His Holy Spirit filled kind of peace. And this peace will last. It's an everlasting peace. They come from the Prince of Peace, Jesus Himself. So I think to this point, right, the whole world now talking about peace. I will touch on that later on, but just want to tell you, sometimes the things that may give us peace that we think externally, but eventually it creates strife and conflicts. I just take one example. There's one example. Sometimes people might think that money can buy you peace at home. It is true, when you don't have money, you tend to not having peace at home. It's real. But when you have too much of it, it might destroy your family, as your children might not have grown deep in the Lord due to distraction or pleasure of the world. Or worse still, your children might be busy dividing your inheritance. This happened in one of the cases, right? One of the richest family in Malaysia now. I'm sure you know who this family is. They are suing one another, no? Family members. So we need to be careful. And if we take the Lord's words seriously, only He can give you the peace. Now, what kind of peace that He's offering? By believing in Him and accepting Him as your Lord and Savior, and be reconciled to Him. That's it. Turn from all your self-righteousness and sufficiency to make peace on your own or through other people. Jesus said, John 14, right? John chapter 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Do not be let your heart be troubled of all the issue right now that is happening in the world. The Lord is still sovereign. The Lord is still in control. If you want to cause somebody to cease to exist, He can just do it in a snap of a finger. But He is in control. And He will bring things. He is in control, and despite whatever is happening now, He will bring good out of the evil situations. Okay? Now, the next slide, there will be five questions. And this is very important to help you to discern the Lord's heartbeat. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is this. Do you think Jesus was merciless for pronouncing such judgment? Such a dreadful judgment. Dash to the ground, you and your children. I would say no. Why? So in this verse, what was Jesus' posture when He pronounced the judgment over Jerusalem and His people? He wept, right? He said wept. But this wept in the original text, Greek word is eklosen. It means loud, uncontrollable, weeping, sobbing with intense sorrow and agony. It is like a mother lost his child during the war, during sickness or whatever. You know, there's a Chinese saying, the worst thing that happened to somebody is the one with the white hair is sending off to the one in the black hair, right? And this, when Jesus talked about this, if you, even you, He's not saying, if you, even you, He's not saying that. He's saying, if you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace. That is the kind of willing, you know. I'm not a good actor, but I'm sure somebody can act better. So if one is just saying, if you, even you, PJEFC, had only known this day, what would bring you peace? He said. That's how I put tears of the Messianic King. When the people were rejoicing, celebrating for Him, He's weeping. What will bring you peace? You don't know. So then the second question is, why such dreadful judgment? you did not recognize the time of the Lord's visitation. Because of their spiritual condition. How dreadful it is. You have been waiting for the king to come. He's here now, but you fail to recognize him. Why? It is because of your expectation or your motives block your ability to discern. Discernment is key so that you won't miss. When the Lord visits you, you won't miss it. You will recognize him, his voice and his will. The Pharisees are supposed to know the scripture by heart, right? They should know the scripture in Zechariah 9:9 say, the king's supposed to ride on the donkey. But they were too focused on their self-interest in preserving their authority and position, they missed the one that they were supposed to submit to. And not only that, they scheme the entire plot to crucify Jesus. Jesus told them, you study the scripture diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. How about the crowd? Crowd like us. The same crowd who praised Jesus would a few days later shout, crucify him. Same thing. Because Jesus couldn't meet their will and expectation to deliver them from their enemies, the physical enemies. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 6, briefly, told them, very, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I perform, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. You see, before this entry to Jerusalem, Jesus already shared in many ways, many circumstances, pointing himself as the Messiah, the Son of God. But the people couldn't see, couldn't discern, because there's a mismatch of expectation and their will. Okay? Then the third question, would God spare Jerusalem if the entire city repent? How many would say yes? How many of you say no? Yes or no? Sure? That's why I say you must be able to discern the heartbeat of our Father. See? I would say the answer is yes. Because just like Nineveh, the Lord relented. You read the scripture. Then the fourth question. Would the people repent if they were given more time? This is a tricky one, right? What do you think? Why no? You see, from the pronouncement of this judgment until the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, in between, there were 40 years, about 40 years. Okay, depending on you think this happened in 33 AD or 30 AD. But the temple and the Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. So after Jesus was being crucified, he rose again, right? His disciples, they were busy trying to bring other people to this Messiah. Correct or not? So despite that, nothing changed. I believe if Jerusalem, the entire city, really, really repent, God will relent. But God has given them 40 years. Okay? And as I ponder, right, today as he spoke this word,
40 years later, I might not be around also. So that's why he was willing, not only because of us, he's willing because of us and our next generation and the generation to come. So the last question, was Jesus justified to pronounce such condemnation to the people? Yes, sir. Then you might say, wait, I know. Jesus, you are right. Then you're on the right path, right? But you might still feel a bit unfair because when God judges a city, some godly people will also be affected, like me. Why like that? That's why you need to pay attention. Later, I will give you the answer. You know what? God cannot differentiate. Hey, this one, okay. Pastor James, good man. Don't, I will deliver you. But the judge, all of us only. Difficult, right? So that's why I say, it is very, very important that we really spend time to discern the heartbeat of our Father. Okay? Now, P. This P is key to discernment. The problem you would have already known, when you do not, you cannot discern because your will and God's will are not aligned. You are blinded. Then what is the solution? Very simple. The solution is decide to discern so that you can discern to decide. Should I come back from US to Malaysia to work here? So this is my example. Decide to discern. You must decide. You must will it. Lock yourself in the room. Pray about it. Decide to discern. Your will must have the desire, the will to decide to discern first so that you can discern, to decide, to act, to make decision later. So when complicated things happen, that is, you find that you are overwhelmed, you don't need to do anything. You just by default mode, tell yourself, decide to discern so that you can discern to decide. Yeah? By doing so, then only you will be able to recognize the Lord, His voice, and His will. Now, I want to spend a bit more time here. Because sometimes, even though we have decided to discern, but because of lack of patience, we don't wait upon the Lord. Hence, we move on in life. But most of the time, we can't accept what the Spirit reveals. As I said earlier, it does not meet our will or expectation. And therefore, we ignore His voice. This really, we need to watch. So I want to bring you three different periods in the Bible to illustrate this point. You see, in the Old Testament during Jeremiah time, go back and read Jeremiah chapter 8, God actually told those false prophets and priests off. He said, you told the people that these false prophets and priests, right, they dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious, the Lord say. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. So the false prophets is telling the people, hey, there will be peace, peace, don't worry. This grand temple built by during Solomon time, right, the Solomon temple, will not be destroyed because the Lord's hand is in it. The Lord wouldn't let this happen. Peace, peace, but the Lord say, I'm going to bring judgment. There will not be any peace. So eventually, the first temple, I call it the Solomon Temple, was destroyed in 586 AD by the Babylonian. Okay? People couldn't discern to the prophet and the false, the priest. That's it. Now, this happened in Jesus' day as well. So 586, first temple destroyed, they rebuilt it in 516 AD. Okay, not as glamorous as the Solomon one, but this second temple during Jesus' time still exists. So Jesus, same thing, what? The Pharisees were not doing their job. They didn't recognize Jesus, right? They were supposed to point people to Jesus, but they didn't. Telling people to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So, what happened? 70 AD, this temple was also destroyed. Now, Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 to 6, you go back and read. He said, "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief." He went on and said, make sure that we do not fall asleep. Make sure that we are awake and be sober. Now, the question to us now is, are we awake and on guard and sober with all the things happening in the world, in Malaysia? People one day will come and promise you peace and safety. You need to know how to discern. That's why I discern the spirit. So for me, as an elder of this church, an overseer of your soul, I always seek discernment from the Lord, what He wants me to speak to His people, even if it means I might become unpopular. I want to be used by Him as a voice to preach the word in season. I don't want to be like the prophets of Jeremiah's day or Pharisee during Jesus' time. I want to be counted faithful. Now, to this end, now the question, what is this P? Anyone know? Raise a hand. Not patient. No. 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 Discernment, related to discernment. No. I think I failed to do my job. What do you do when? No. Give. What do you do when you need to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to discern? Posture. Who say posture? Posture. Sorry, didn't get your name.
Cindy.
Cindy, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
At least we have Cindy. So it is posture. It is posture. Not only posture, right posture. Not only right posture, it's spiritual posture. So what is the right spiritual posture then? A posture that comes before the Lord in humility, in surrender, obedience, and in His terms, not yours. Posture. When you have the right spiritual posture, it will lead you to have the right perspective. When you get the right perspective from the Lord, your spiritual walk with Him will change. Habakkuk. I will illustrate this using Habakkuk. His book, right, only 3 chapters. But I summarize it for you. Habakkuk complained a lot about God. He told God, why could you just tolerate injustice and violence and destruction? God gave him an answer that He would raise up Babylon, the merciless nation, to punish His chosen people. Habakkuk was shocked. I asked you why you allow all this injustice to happen, but you raise up somebody that is even worse than the current regime. Okay, that is not the answer Habakkuk wants to hear, see? Then God answered him again, second time. and led him to ponder over God's past faithfulness and reminded him who God is. After that, he worshipped. He worshipped. Worship means posture. Just go and worship in God's term, not your term. Humble, in humility. And then he changed his perspective. And then his spiritual posture changed. Instead of complaining, now he is ready to embrace the judgment and praise God joyfully in spite of the coming suffering that he's going to endure. So these famous verses in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 16 to 19, say, Habakkuk say, I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quiver at the sound, decay crept into my bones, and my legs tremble. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the store, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Wow. If one day I tell you this is going to happen to you, to cause you to accept it already so difficult. You cannot just accept it. Why? I say you need to go to worship the Lord, change your perspective. Instead of accepting it, Habakkuk, rejoice. Yet I will still rejoice. The circumstances have not changed. He has. How about a psalmist? You read Psalm 73? Psalmist, these psalmists always worship the Lord in the temple one. Okay? But he has seen so many things happening that discourage him. At one point, he even questioned his own faith. He envied the arrogant when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. They scoff, they speak with malice, with arrogance, they threaten oppression. But they are always free of care. This psalmist say, they go on amazing wealth. Then they say, wow, like that one, God. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and have washed my hands in innocence. You say, wow, cannot tahan already. When I try to understand all this, he say, it troubled me deeply until I commit suicide. No, right? He say, until I enter the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. So the psalmist's perspective changed after he has got the right posture. He said, cannot, I must go back to the sanctuary. This is not a physical one, it's a sanctuary of the Lord. His spiritual relationship with the Lord. Go back to the Lord. Then he understood God. What did God tell him? This is just what you see in this reality. But that is not the ultimate reality. One thing I will make all these things right, my child. So his perspective changed. Then again, just like Habakkuk, what did he say? He said, whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Again, circumstances remain unchanged, but this psalmist, he himself changed by changing his perspective. So how do you change your perspective? Decide to enter into his presence, to discern his heart. And now you know spiritual growth come from the right posture. Then you do it. Don't just hear the voice, but do it. Obey and do it. And then you give it a right perspective. And this is self-reinforcing. So what is your posture today? Did the Lord speak to you? If yes, what is your posture today? Is there anything that you think the Lord is weeping over you, your life, your family, or even our church at large? If yes, are you receptive of His voice, His correction, or even rebuke? Are we building our house on the sand or on the rock? Are we ready to surrender to Him and let Him have His way in our life in spite of whatever circumstances that we are facing today? For those of you here have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if today you hear Him speaking to you, do not let your heart be hardened. I have come to share Christ's offering to you today, His everlasting peace. Only Jesus, the Prince of Peace, can give you that. If you want such peace, can you come to the front later after the closing song? The leader will pray for you. Now, for those of us, most of us here, who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, yet you still feel that there's something in you causes the lack of peace in your soul. You might not know the root cause, or you might know it. Can I also invite you to come to the front after the closing song so that we can pray for you to be filled with the Spirit to open up your heart and mind to discern? Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart, so that you can hold on to your original conviction firmly to the very end. This is just the reality, earthly reality, but it's not the ultimate reality. Let us go back to Jesus, the lover of our soul, who has loved us and gave Himself for us. Shall we pray? Lord, we just want to thank You for Your word. For me, Lord, personally, this is a solemn Sunday. And I just pray that, Lord, Your word will not return to You void. Even right now, Your children here, they are pondering over the message. You might have spoken to them in different way, in different words. But I just ask, Lord, that You be gentle, Lord, to convict their hearts. Reveal to them, Lord, is there any offensive way in them? That, Lord, that You are weeping over it. And Holy Spirit, we need You, Lord. Help us, Lord. We cannot do it by our own. But help us, Lord, to be willing, to decide, to come into Your presence, to discern Your heartbeat, to ask for Your forgiveness, and to ask You to restore us once again. Restore the joy of salvation in us, Lord. We need that, Lord. We just want to thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for loving us so much that You died on the cross for us. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.